Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Inspire Health Podcast. And I hope you're excited for our episode with Udo Erasmus today. He's been a health guru in this industry for a long time, and we have a really fascinating conversation with him. Before I forget, I want to make sure that Udo graciously offered everybody a free digital download of his newest book, the book on Total Sexy Health, as well as some other bonus videos that I think you're going to find really interesting. So that link is in the show notes. So make sure that you click that and it'll take you right to the site where you can get the free copy of his book. The other thing I want to mention before we start the episode is we're making some big changes to the Inspire Health Podcast. Probably by the end of the year, we are going to be making some major changes, and we will not be offering the episodes on Apple iTunes, Spotify, all of those platforms, as well as YouTube. So we are moving everything more to the private. So please make sure to go to inspirehealthpodcast.com and join the mailing list, and we will keep you updated as far as any of those changes and how you will be able to access all of the content in the near future. Lots of major changes taking place with podcasts and more censorship coming down the line, and we just want to move things to a place where we know that we can keep it secure and that we can operate in the way that we want to operate. So lots of other offerings are coming up as well, and we were excited to share with you a whole bunch of stuff that we have got in the works. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode with Udo. Make sure to click the link to check out his free digital download, and make sure to go to inspirehealthpodcast.com and click the link and join the mailing list so we can keep you informed on all the changes that are going to be taking on our platform throughout the remainder of this year. All right, everybody, enjoy the show, and I'll talk to you soon. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Inspire Health Podcast, also playing on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. And we are continuing on with the series on Creating New Earth, a collaborative mission. And today we've got Udo Erasmus. And if you haven't heard of Udo, then you've probably been missing out, because he's been talking about stuff for decades now. But Udo is the founder of Udo's Choice and author of the book Fats That Heal, Fats That Kill, which has sold over 250,000 copies. As an acclaimed author and speaker, Udo has an 8-step process that takes into consideration all of the elements of nature and human nature, including physical health, mental health, presence and awareness, life energy, and being in harmony with nature and humanity. Udo's background includes studies in biochemistry, genetics, biology, and nutrition, as well as a master's degree in counseling psychology. Udo, wonderful having you on the show today.
Hi, glad to be on. Let's see where we go.
We were chatting just before this because I had a whole list of things I wanted to pick Udo's brain on around fats. But I think what we're going to do is we're going to segue that for another topic so we can really give it justice and have a good, deep conversation about fats. Because as we were talking about it, a hugely misunderstood category that we would be really like to dive into. But in theme for this, because this is all around creating new earth, and Udo has a really fascinating and diverse history. And I mean, I think we can get into a lot of different pieces of this, but I would really like to dive into this 8-step process that takes into account all aspects of nature and human nature. So Udo, I'm going to pass it over to you, and maybe you can start by just giving us a little bit of your background and what sort of helped you arrive at where you are now and why this 8-step process, and then we'll start to break this down.
Yeah. Okay, well, I had the super good fortune to be born during the Second World War. And that sounds like a funny way to say it, but the reason why, it scared the bejesus out of me. I was 2.5 years old. We were refugees. We were fleeing in horse-drawn hay wagons on dirt roads with no military presence from the communists who were chasing us in tanks and trucks. And the Allies, the good guys, were using us refugees as target practice, shooting at us from planes. And all of these people that were fleeing out on these roads were mostly women with young children. So I was 2.5, and there were dead horses and dead people in the ditches, and it was scary. I did not feel safe. I totally didn't feel safe. And I ended up living like this, you know, like this, you know, very shy. I lived in a world of books because books were safe. So you could listen, you can read about a war, but there are no bullets flying. Mm-hmm. And so we ended up in Germany after the war, got out of Poland. And when I was 6 years old, I listened to adults argue about things that I thought were super trivial. And it always made me uneasy because they got so intense. And it occurred to me one day, man, there must be a way that people can live in harmony. Mm-hmm. And this little cocky voice says, I'm going to find out how. You know, like 6-year-old who doesn't know how complicated everything is, right? But that's been my driver basically all my life, because there's got to be something better than what I experienced in my first few years. And why I say I was fortunate to be born in a war is because it rubbed my nose in the importance of cultivating peace when we have the luxury to do so. Because between the First World War and the Second World War, there were 21 years. If people in Europe had cultivated peace in those 21 years, there would have not been a Second World War. But we don't cultivate peace, we drift. Cultivating peace has to be deliberate. So we drift, and we always drift downhill, and we're drifting now too. And if you want to prevent the next big war, then you have to do it by cultivating peace, because you don't get peace out of a ceasefire. Peace is a real experience, personal before it's social, inner before it's outer, and it requires time in stillness, because that peace already exists in the core of our being. So anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I ended up because I was so felt unsafe. I got into science because the idea of science is you learn how things work and you get some predictability. So I like that. So I got into science, and then physics and chemistry was pretty theoretical, and math was really theoretical. They didn't tell us what the applications were, so I didn't get it. And I went into biosciences. So first into science to figure out how things work, then into biosciences to figure how creatures work. Then I got into psychology to figure out how thinking works. This is all in the service of, this must be a way to live in harmony. And then I got into medicine because it's called healthcare and I wanted to know what health is. But we were only learning about disease. So I talked to the dean. I said, well, what is health? I came here because I want to know what health is. He said, we don't know. We're working on it. And that ended my medical career. They also told us that a doctor should always sound as though he knows what's going on, even when he doesn't. Which means lie to your patients, because they wouldn't know any better. And we call that lying on the farm. I said, no, I'm not going to spend my life that way. I went back into biochemistry and genetics, because at that point I figured out we're going to learn more about health in biology, where we study the normal functioning of normal creatures in normal situations, than in medicine, where the focus is on disease. And so then I ended up in biochemistry and genetics. Eventually I left university because I was still looking for something and I wasn't finding it. And eventually I had some very powerful spiritual experiences, some of them on psychedelics and some of them not. And then I kind of got burned out because So I decided I only get one body, I better look after it. And I started to do an internal stillness practice called a self-knowledge. Because the guy who taught me how to do that practice, I was 30, he was 14. He said, the peace you search for in the world is within you. And I could show you where that peace is. And I didn't think a 14-year-old could teach me much, you know, because I thought I'm 30, I've been around, you know. But he did. And I started doing the practice. I gave it 6 months because I didn't think the practice made sense. You know, how would I know? I didn't know anything about practices. I said, I'll do it for 6 months. And I realized that if I did my practice before I got into the arguments with my now ex-wife, I wouldn't rise to the bait. And by the time 6 months were up, I said, oh my God, this actually works. So I've been doing this for over 50 years. Mm-hmm. And the stillness practice, why? Because you want to sit down, you want to get in a safe place, you want to completely shut off all of your externalization of your senses, and you want to bring your focus of awareness into the space your body occupies to explore and discover what's in there. And what's in there is a peace that is all-encompassing and absolute. And that peace cannot be made unpeaceful. It's a foundation. It is completely stable. I can lose awareness of it if my focus wanders off, but the peace is always there when I go there. And then that's surrounded by unconditional love, empowering unconditional love. And that's called life. And that runs the entire show, the entire body show, right? 24/7, 365, lifelong. Life loves your body unconditionally. You know, no matter what's going on in your head, no matter what's going on in your outside world, runs you, you know, takes you through all your dramas and all your traumas and all your circumstances and all your emergencies and all your crises and all of your head trips and everything. While all of that's going on, it's taking place. It's taking care of your body. It's making sure that that molecule of folic acid, that the left point of your ankle is calling for, gets delivered. You know, you eat it, but life delivers it. And then that unconditional love, its nature is to shine into the world. That's called inspiration. So inspired or inspired purpose. And so that comes from stillness practice. And those are the three most neglected areas in the world. You know, we've been here for 200,000 years. And we don't still know what human nature is, and we still don't know what health is, and we don't still know how we can have peace in the world. We call peace we call it peace when the shooting stops, but that's not peace. That's a ceasefire. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when there's a ceasefire, the people who were fighting hate each other as much or even more than they did at the beginning of it. So you stop the fighting, then you have to have a peacekeeping force that should really be called a keep them from killing each other force, because, and you need that force because you don't have peace. You have a ceasefire. So peace is something much more proactive than that. Very, very important. We live in a time where we're being pushed to begin to embrace it and change how we live into the world, because the way we're going, we're destroying ourselves, each other, and the planet.
Udo, how did you come across your teacher? Because, you know, as you know, they say that when you're ready, the teacher will appear. And yeah. you had this 14-year-old teaching a 30-year-old how to sit in stillness. How did that come about?
Yeah. Okay. So there are two stories there that I'll tell. So when I got after I left university, and I was still looking for something. I didn't know what it was, but I knew I'd figure it out. I'd find it when I'd recognize it when I found it. And one of the ways I went is like, who do I want to be? Who's my model? My parents were not my model because they were so war struck. So they were not my model. So who's a good model? And I decided, living in the society I grew up in, the model that made the most sense to me was the model of Jesus. But I didn't know much about it because we weren't religious. My parents were nominally Lutheran, but when we asked deep questions, they said, you figure it out yourself. And that it's kind of good because I did get to figure out. So I got the Red Letter Edition and started putting things that he said to the test, because my goal was to feel what he felt that allowed him to say what he said and do what he did and live like he did. And I didn't want a religion named after me, and I didn't want to get nailed on a cross or anything, but I wanted to know what was the internal experience out of which his wisdom comes, because 2,000 years later, we're still talking about it. Mm-hmm. And you read some of those little things, and there's like real wisdom there. And then I would read it, and I wouldn't ask somebody else to interpret it for me. I'd try to figure it out. Well, what does that mean to me? What does that, you know? So anyway, so I did this for a year and had some really interesting experiences. And this group of Christians came up the coast to Canada from California. They called themselves the Jesus People's Army. That should have been a warning to me, because war army was not exactly a great word in my vocabulary. But I missed the cue. I figured, okay, these guys are, they're trying to figure out like I am, and we're all going to get together and we're all going to share our stories and everybody's going to leave enriched, because you always learn something from the experiences people have. So I went to their coffee house, sat down at a chair, and immediately this guy swooped into their chair next to me. That would have been, should have been my second cue. I missed that one too. And so he sat down, I looked him in the eyes, I didn't introduce myself, and I said to him, it must be possible to see God and live. Because we were told as kids, if you see God, you die. And I was like, that never sat right to me. You know, he's my father. He's, you know, he loves me unconditionally. He takes care of me. And then I look at him, he kills me. It's like, what? Anyway, so I figured this would be the beginning of a good, deep conversation, not wasting any time, right? Well, this guy jumped out of the chair and his arms were flailing wildly over his head. And he screamed at me, he said, you're from the devil, you're from the Antichrist, get out. So I go slinking out of there.
That was the third cue.
Yeah, I got that cue. And I'm standing on the sidewalk in the dark and I'm saying, well, I haven't seen God, maybe I shouldn't be asking this question. I got really confused and really desperate. And I really wanted to know. And so, again, I have to say thank you for this experience because what it led to. So I decided to hitchhike to West Coast of Vancouver Island, spent a week on the beach, you know, to clear my head. I used to go into nature to clear my head when the world got too crazy for me. So off I go. There was a beach, logs on the beach. Somebody had draped some plastic over some logs, made a little dwelling. And I said, okay, there's my hotel for the weekend. Mm-hmm. And I got into the place and you had to go on your all fours because you couldn't stand up in it. It was just like rain protection. And so I went in and I went to sleep. And in the middle of the night, I woke bolt upright. And there was this being made of light. Couldn't tell. It didn't have a label on it and it didn't say anything. And I couldn't tell if it was male or female. And I couldn't tell if it was old or young. But it embodied a message, and I got to put words to the message. The message was, I am come not to judge, but to love. I am come not to judge, but to love. And all of my confusion evaporated just like that. Oh my God, there is the central message of the masters. And it's the message of the masters to humanity, but it's also the message of life to your body. I am come not to judge, but to love, right? Doesn't matter how crazy you get and what stupid things you do. Life does not judge you. Life doesn't judge you. Your mind might, you know, you might have remorse and blah, 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 but life doesn't judge you. It still delivers that folic acid molecule to the left tip of your ankle, even if you've been really stupid and really crazy, right? So I am come not to judge, but to love. It's like, okay, there's my model. There's my standard. There's the standard. And then the question was, then it became, you know, I mean, I feasted on it. It was like, there was a powerful, it was life-changing. It blew the door off of all of my childhood fear and trauma and all of that, because it's like, okay, there is good direction, clear direction to live a really good life. And so then it became a memory, it's like, okay, I want to live in that, the experience I had, I want to live in that on a moment to moment basis, because it was such a powerfully beautiful experience.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And And then I ended up in the mountains because I didn't like the city. And I realized my what I didn't like in the city was with me in the mountains. So it's like, oh, it's my attitude. Mm-hmm. And now how do I dismantle the attitude and develop with a better one? And so I said to my ex at the time, I touched myself here. I said, you know, I know there's a perfection within me. I know I'm not connected to it. And I need to find someone who can show me a step, because I've been trying to figure it out for a few years and I'm not getting closer. I'm getting crazier. And the next morning, we went to get firewood for the cabin that we lived in Colorado at 9,100 feet. That's where we were, because we'd left the city, right? And the landlord came with his pickup truck. We were going to get wood out of the forest, dead trees out of the forest, and make firewood for the people who allowed us to stay in the cabin for the summer. And he turns on the ignition of the truck and it says, this is the last day before the perfect master will have his festival in Montrose, Colorado. And I had perfection on my mind from the night before. I know there's a perfection within me. And they called him perfect master, whatever that means. Mm-hmm. But because it was like perfection and perfect, it's like, I got to go and see this guy. Mm-hmm. It sounded to me like it's, and I don't know why anybody would put a message like that on a radio. Mm-hmm. But apparently it was for me, right? And so then we had to figure out, I wanted to go. And then my wife started crying, says, don't go, you're always leaving. If you leave, don't come back. And I knew I had to go, and I knew she had to be okay with it. And I finally said to her, listen, can you show me that thing that I talked about last night? And she said, no. So I said, well, as long as it's like that, I need to go where I think I might be able to find it. And if I find it, then I will bring it back. And she completely calmed down and says, good. So off I went, and that's where he said. He talked for 2 hours. I remember one sentence. The peace you search for in the world is within you, and I can reveal you that peace. And I didn't think he could, but he did. So that's how I got to that particular issue. And then I started thinking about what this is. And then I became really interested in human nature, and then also total health, because those two. I had a talk with my mother, why she wanted me to, when I wrote the book on Fats That Heal, Fats That Kill, I moved in with my mother. I was 41 years old, moved in with my mother because I wanted to write this book. And so she wanted me to move her dahlia bulbs because she was getting on and she didn't have the energy she used to have. So I said to her, well, you know, Mom, I don't see it as the purpose of my life to move your dahlia bulbs. And I thought she would be kind of ticked off, right? But she didn't. She just said, oh, what do you think is the purpose of your life? And it just came out of me. I had never really figured it out. I was thinking about it, but I'd never figured it. I said, I'm going to make sense about fats and health. I'm going to make sense of that. And then I'm going to make sense of total health. And then I'm going to turn total health and human nature into teachable fields. And I was floored because it came out completely clear. It was like I was completely clear. She was floored because she had no idea I was that clear. And it was like, oh my God. And there was, it just came as a question she asked. And it's been basically how I've been living my life since then. Mm-hmm. Those are that, and I'm still doing it. And this is what we're talking about, is some of the outcome of what I've learned. Mm-hmm. And then I got married. We had three kids. My marriage fell apart because I hadn't done my homework and she hadn't done her homework before we got married. So we expected each other to do the homework for each other, which doesn't work. And so we both came up disappointed. You know, I couldn't get to the love in me to bring it into the marriage. She couldn't get in touch with the love in her to bring it into the marriage. And so we ended up fighting a lot, right? And then we were both disappointed because we expected the other person to bring it, right? That's what happens to relationships. So fell apart. I was really upset and I wanted to kill something. And I took a full-time job as a pesticide sprayer. And I sprayed them very carelessly for 3 years and then got poisoned by the pesticides that I sprayed. Went to the doctor. What do you have for pesticide poisoning? Nothing was the answer, short answer. And that's when I got really interested in health and got into the journals on health and nutrition, disease and nutrition, and got stuck in fats because it was the most confusing area. It was completely contradictory. You know, one study says omega-6s are essential nutrients. Your body can't make them. You have to have them. You die if you don't get enough long enough. And so you have to have them. And the very next study says omega-6s give you cancer and kill you. And my head just exploded. It's like, what? Like, well, they can't both be true, right? You know, if you need it for health and then it gives you cancer and kills you, that's like, no, there must be something else going on. That contradiction forced me to look deeper into how oils are made and how oils are used and their sensitivity and the damage done to them, because it's not the omega-6s that give you cancer and kill you. It's the damaged molecules from the way we make them and use them that interfere with your immune function. So then I got into that, and then I got into digestion, which is the second most neglected enzymes, probiotics, fiber, bitters. And then I got into greens, and then I said, what else is there? And I said, you know what, everything affects health. And that brings me back to health in line with nature and human nature. So that's basic, the long story. Long, I know it's a long story.
Oh, that's beautiful. I think that's beautiful.
81 years.
Amazing.
And still going hard.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we'll jump into that in a sec. But one question I'm curious with what you've found, because this has come up different from different people, but the capacity to be able to connect to that real genuine peacefulness within yourself first.
Yeah.
What have you found with the balance between how much of that actually means people have to get in line certain physical health attributes, or can they bypass that and can it just be a spiritual process? What have you kind of found in that regard? A lot of times we think of health and different themes will kind of say it's a top-down model, you know, so like the more abstract ultimately affect the more concrete, physical often being at the bottom, you know, like our emotions will affect our physical health and
spiritual connection.
And when I've seen the realms of spontaneous healing, it's usually been from quite spiritual aha moments, high levels mm-hmm. of consciousness that are just like trans, mm-hmm. totally
okay.
corrected things. But as far as getting the physical piece in alignment to assist with finding that inner peace.
Okay. So your body could be completely wrecked and your mind could be completely disorganized and your social group could be completely dysfunctional and your environment could be a disaster area, and the peace that is the core of your being, that is the foundation of your existence and all existence, that peace would not be affected in the least, because it can't be affected. You know, everything that can't change will. The only thing that can't change, won't change, can't, is what can't change. Peace doesn't change. You can disconnect from it. You can disconnect your focus from it, but the peace is still there. So that peace is indestructible. The life energy is also indestructible. Solar energy that went into plants, you know, filtered through the atmosphere and filtered through 93 miles of space, and then filtered through green plant, and then stored in bonds between atoms to make molecules, which you eat. And then in your cells, you break those bonds, or life breaks those bonds, and that solar energy is released, and that energy is your life energy. Well, that life energy is also indestructible, and that energy happens to be perfect health, can never get sick. But, you know, we say, well, if you're spiritual, you know, spiritual gets you out. No, what the issue is, if you're not doing your homework here or here or here, you're probably not doing your homework in other ways either. So if I'm in peace and I feel loved, and I'm enjoying my life, then I'm going to say, you know what? I really like it here. I'm going to be here as long as I can because it's such an incredible experience. And I will do whatever it takes, to the extent that I know what it takes, to be around for as long as I can. But if my life is crummy because I'm not in touch with what's beautiful and magnificent and awesome inside of me, if I'm not in touch with it and I'm just in my head and I'm just depressed and I'm, you know, I hate myself and I don't feel I'm worth anything and life is too hard, you know, then I don't have the inspiration. I don't have the energy to deal with what needs to be dealt with. And then I'm also, then it's too hard to change my habits that are out of line with nature and to, you know, to change my mind to if I have thoughts that are not helpful, you know, and then I don't, you know, and then, you know, then I'm going to do the least and then I'm going to get sick because I'm not paying attention. I'm not doing what I need to do. And if I feel bad enough, I will actually destroy my body. Right? So the connection isn't direct. Peace will always be peace. But if you're not doing the homework on peace, you're probably not doing the homework on other things as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And I'm trying to be really accurate here. Same as, you know, if you're not, you're doing your homework on the unconditional empowering love that life is for your body, then you're probably not going to feel cared for. Well, for sure you won't feel cared for. And then you're not going to do other things either because you haven't done that. You haven't done that. And all the wise people always said, put that internal stuff first. Make that your priority. Because what is it? Seek first the kingdom and everything else will be added unto you. Absolutely true. But it has to be experiential, not just a head trip.
Mm-hmm. Right? Well, the thing, that's what I'm just sort of finding, because I know sometimes when I've seen some patients that have almost been like, so deficient or so broken down or so in such pain or something that it's almost like they can't even get to the place to connect to some of that inner work. Not that I don't think that's still possible different times, but or you know, if you see someone that's like, you know, completely anemic or something, so they've just got like almost no energy to deal with anything in life.
Yeah.
Sort of, where do you kind of step into it? Where does that benefit to then help the person actually step into doing the other pieces of it?
Yeah. Inspiration is nutrient one.
Yeah.
That's what I learned traveling and recognizing why even myself, you know, there's a time when I didn't do what I needed to do, right? Why is that? Because I wasn't inspired. Why wasn't I inspired? Because I wasn't in touch. Right. Mm-hmm. So then you as a healer, when you're with people like that, your first job is to be inspired. So it rubs off on them.
Yeah.
Because it does rub off on people. Mm-hmm. You know, we are influenced, we are influenceable, and we are influenced by other people. So if you're in peace, that'll rub off on people. I've had people run after me when they saw me walking somewhere and say, you've got something. What is it that you've got? Because whatever that is, I want that. And then the door's just been torn off the hinges for a conversation, right? About the magnificence of human beingness, right? So, so then in, you know, when I was traveled, I traveled for 15 years, 6 to 9 months on the road, talking about health. And I recognized if I can't inspire people, there's no point in informing them. So the job was always inspire and inform, or inspire, entertain, and inform. Mm-hmm. And when people felt good afterwards, they would make the changes. And then if they saw a result from the changes, then they would get inspired to make other changes. And it happened to be in the oils arena is probably the arena where people most consistently and most obviously notice changes when they make the oil change their body needs of any nutrient that I've ever worked with. And I lucked into a pretty good area for that kind of thing. And then the inspiration, also the oils give you energy. When they're not damaged, they give you energy. And the more energy you have, the more you're likely to find it, you know, to find doing what you need to do doable.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because I feel like, I totally agree with you. If the practitioner is in a place of inspiration, you're creating a field that's going to affect the person around you. And it's one of those things where, you know, and a lot, not for everybody, but a lot of times in conventional medicine, that's not talked about. And it's actually something that's even in a lot of ways, I think, almost like trying to stay, keep an environment very sort of neutral and controlled in a certain way. It's almost like that's doing, it's almost getting too personal to get inspired and create that sort of environment, I find sometimes. So a lot of times I just find people are just finding different ways of connecting to different types of people or different practitioners that allow that field. And to me, I agree. That's the first step. If you can create a more powerful field, that leaves more possibilities for that person to now move into that weren't there prior.
100%.
Whether it be a practitioner or a mother or a father or a friend, but that inspiration.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about healing, not doctoring.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. And you know what, when that inspiration is there, a lot of times placebos will work too, right? Because the inspiration or the upliftment or the enlightenment or getting people lit up is the best medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yep. Because that's actually the medicine. How do you help people get lit up from within? Because when you're lit up from within, everything's okay. Mm-hmm. Everything's doable. Everything becomes doable. If you don't know, you can have the time to dig it out. And if you know, you can just put it into practice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and you'll see energy levels change in a snap when that happens. People that have been chronically tired, all of a sudden their energy's back up and now they're super motivated again.
Yeah, and you can, as sometimes you see, you go to somebody and you just smile. If you're inspired, if you're feeling it, and you just smile, you know, it rubs off instantly, because it's within them. All you're doing is you're activating something that's already within them. Mm-hmm. And you know, maybe they're hanging out in a situation where nobody's activating that, where everybody's on downers, right? Oh man, life is so hard. Oh, they're doing that. And look at that. And look at all those problems. Oh my God, you know, and then you're complaining and complaining, complaining, and you're not, and they're not doing the work. Well, then everybody gets affected by that too.
Yeah. Right?
So the healer is healing is an energy phenomenon primarily. And when the energy is there, then the remedies, not only do they work better, but they're also going to be taken better, and you'll get compliance, and you know, and they'll come and visit you because they feel good in your presence, and that helps them. That's the most important medicine. Imagine 8 billion people on this planet inspired because they're in touch with the light they are in their individual essences. Solar energy, we're solar energy gadgets, right? When we're in touch with that light, It lights up the surroundings,
mm-hmm.
right? Udo, 8 billion people. That's the goal. 8 billion people lit up, living their life lit up from within. Yeah, you know, and helping each other instead of beating each other up.
I hope that we all get to see that.
We are seeing that.
And we are. Yeah. You know, we were just listening to someone yesterday that has done some really amazing work. And one of the things that came up was she was saying the most important thing really we can do is honoring bonds of affection. And the idea of that was not meaning like make a list of all the people that you want to say, but it's like in the actual genuineness and the spontaneity of the moment, when you're connected to a field of love, to be able to just express it as it comes up. And so many times we get uncomfortable about it, or we think that, oh, that's, you know, I shouldn't say that or whatever. And we self-censor. And a lot of this was the idea of just really honoring those bonds of affection and sharing that lovingness with the people around you when it's genuine and it authentically comes up without then trying to pull it back down again.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good. the station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, I think part of the issue there is when I started this, you know, when I had that experience that I told you about, you know, I am come not to judge but to love. Nothing in that experience said go out and tell the world.
Right.
So I never talked about it for 30 years. And then 9/11 came. And 9/11, I was on a whitewater raft, and the nature was not affected. So I had a sort of a space between what happened. And but the take home for me was, okay, discontent people will always spread discontent. And if people who are content, and I claim to be one of those people, if we don't spread contentment faster than they spread discontent, guess where we're headed? And at that point, I began to try and express about these kinds of experiences. And I wasn't very good at it. And sometimes what people do, if they experience, they try to put it into words, like from the Bible or from some kind of a literature, then it's not in their own words. So I had to learn to talk about this in my own words, because I'm not trying to turn somebody on to a way of thinking. I'm interested in people finding their own experience and then bringing their own experience to expression in their own words. And you have to, and that took me some time. Mm-hmm. So when I began to, I'm getting pretty good at it, but when I started, it was like, because I'm not trying to shore up an old system. I'm actually trying to create a new system. That means new experiences into new thoughts, into new words, into new actions, into different outcomes from the system. So we're really building a new system.
Yeah.
It's building a system based on the nature of human nature, based on total health, based on what is a human being that we have never actually really come to terms with for the 200,000 years we've been living on this planet. It's about time.
Yeah, well, let's dive into that. So what does, this has been a conversation too that's come up in lots of different ways, but what does it mean to be living literally in accordance to natural law, to nature's law, and to our own human nature? Let's break that down.
Well, we started, the core of it is peace. The next level around that is the unconditional empowering flow of love, that is the solar energy that takes care of everything physical. That's number two. The shine of that, because the nature of that love is to shine. So it's not like you have to be motivated to, you know, you have to, you know, go to a motivation thing to pump you up. That's its nature. It shines. So when you're in that love, it shines. So that's number three, inspired purpose. When you're in that place, by the way, what needs to be done becomes obvious to you, because it's actually obvious from life's perspective. You know, what needs to be done in this time? Everybody has a part to play, but you need to be in touch with life in order to recognize it. Otherwise, you're trying to figure it out with your head, and then you're scheming. A scheme is not a vision, as Leonard Cohen said. A scheme is not a vision, right? So so that was number three. And then number four is the physical body. And that's what we talk about when we talk about health. It's usually food and fitness. And by the way, the inspiration purpose, that's positive mind. That's what positive mind is. It's the shine of life into the world. It's the bridge between life and the world. It leads to helping behavior. And I've noticed, you know, when I feel cared for by life, there's nothing left to do except to help. Mm-hmm. I'm done. I'm taken care of. I don't need anything more. And when I didn't feel cared for, I was always going, you know, what can I do that'll get me taken care of?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then nothing ever took care of me that I did. But I was hoping I'd find something because I hadn't done my homework. I was trying to something on the outside to do my homework for me again, right? And then so the shine, that's so positive. I call that positive mind. Body is a vehicle for action. We all know that stuff. Made out of food, water, air, and food, water, and air. Run by light. Made for activity. And food, water, air, and light. Nature's standard for that was fresh, whole, raw, and organic. For human beings, probably mostly plant-based. And more fats than carbs, because carbs turn into fats, and fats have always been the storage of energy in the human body. You can only store a pound of carbs, but you could store 300 pounds of fat. You could run, I figured it out one day, if you had 300 pounds of body fat, you could go 12,000 miles on it. with the 1 pound of carbs that you store as glycogen or animal starch in liver and muscles, you can only go 20 miles. That's why marathoners used to hit the wall. And then because they were burning carbs and they were carb loading. They should have been carb depleting so that their fat burning mechanism was turned on. And we actually turned people off of carbs onto good oils. And they ran their marathon and they said, that was awesome. When I finished my marathon of 26 miles, I felt I had enough energy to run another one. Because you can, on 4% of body fat, you can run, I think it's 300 miles. So if you get your fat burning and you run the endurance sports on fats, you actually get better results than you do when you try to run them on carbs.
Yeah.
Carbs are okay for short sprints and stuff like that, but nothing more than 20 miles. So no Ironman should be run on carbs, and no marathon should be run on carbs.
It's such a switchover. I remember back in the day, I used to do a lot of long distance running, and I remember going to the meeting, like the big group things, and be like big pasta loading and all these kind of things.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then you kind of realize, oh, that's kind of ridiculous. Like I can only store so much of that, and it's not really a good long-term fuel. I remember reading Primal Endurance by Mark Sisson and looking at some of the work that they were doing and seeing phenomenal results with all of these. Marathoners.
Yeah, the only thing I would add to Mark's work, if you use omega-3s, sixes, you need them both, but they need to be in the right ratio, but you favor the omega-3s. We did a study in athletes where when they took a tablespoon per 50 pounds of body weight per day of the oil blend we created that's twice as rich in omega-3s, omega-6, within a month, they mixed it in food, took it over the course of the day, within 30 days, they had 40 to 60% increase in performance if they did their sport to exhaustion, 40 to 60. So the omega-3s do that, the saturated fats don't do that. But the omega-3s take care, so a lot of people who do keto diets, they don't want to have to deal with the care that those oils need. So they just give you saturated fats, but then it's not sustainable because you have to have omega-3 and omega-6.
This comes to the end of our time for this episode. Please go to inspirehealthpodcast.com and listen to the remainder of this important episode. Thank you so much.